Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hey there, welcome to session 56 of Selling the Couch. Happy New Year. Hope you had a wonderful start to your new year. I am very excited about this upcoming year. And actually on New Year's, we kept it pretty low key. We just spent it with some friends playing board games just the way that I like it. Oh, and then we wrapped up the weekend doing some ice skating. I've been ice skating a lot this year for some reason, and I think I'm finding a new passion. It's learning, but fell only a couple of times, but I think I'm getting better along the way. So I have a treat for you today, and I thought this person would be such a good person to start off our new year. You know, I think as we approach any new years, the natural tendency is to think about goals and the things that we want to accomplish in this new year. You know, as I even think about Selling the Couch, I have so many dreams and hopes for the coming year. Even as I think just a year ago is when I actually started the journey of making this podcast, right actually around this time was when I first conducted my first initial set of interviews, and I was still trying to figure out how to record a podcast and to get it off the ground, and it's amazing to see where it's come, and I'm excited for this new year. But the truth is, when I started Selling the Couch about a year ago, I had a lot of hopes and dreams, but I had a lot of fears and a lot of insecurities, and I didn't know who would listen to this podcast, whether I had the capability to even do something like this. And I think that fear is true for many of us, and oftentimes that fear of failing or the fear of I don't know what's going to happen deters a lot of people from actually taking steps to start their small business. My guest today is Tanner Gears. Tanner is a really good friend. We've connected here over the past little bit over a year, and Tanner just has this amazing story. The first thing you should know is Tanner is actually part of Team USA. He's an Olympian, and he's won multiple gold medals. And the thing also to know is that Tanner is legally blind. He had this very unfortunate accident growing up, which led to him becoming blind, and you'll hear all about it in today's session of the podcast. But I wanted to have Tanner on because I think for many of us, whether it is our own fears or whether it is things that happen in our life, whether it comes to finances, the health, our own health, or the health of others, for whatever reasons, I think sometimes those stop us from pursuing our dreams and our hopes. And in today's podcast, I wanted to just have Tanner on to share how he's been able to overcome some very difficult challenges, to become a very successful motivational speaker, to build his own business online, and how he overcomes his own self-doubts and the voices of people around him that say, "Oh, Tanner, I think you should settle and do something else." So here's my conversation with Tanner Gears. Hey, Tanner, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, thank you so much for having me.
Man, it's been a while since we have connected. I am looking forward to our conversation today.
You know it. It's been like a year, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me on for your audience. I'm so looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I wanted to start out because you have this just amazing story of courage and resilience. And I was wondering if we could just start there, if you could share your story about what happened and how you overcame some pretty amazing obstacles.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. So when I was 21, I was enlisting into the military. I really wanted to serve my country. This was right on the heels of 9/11, and I just kind of got inspired by that. And during the enlistment process, I was in a really bad auto accident where a tree came through my windshield, impaled me in the face. I was just driving too fast and lost control of my car. And you know, shattered pretty much every bone in my face. I lost my left eye, broke my jaw, T3 through 7, spinal column fractures. A piece of my skull, a huge chunk of my skull was torn off to such a degree you could see my brain. It was exposed to the air. And somehow I made it to the hospital. And, you know, of course, I lost the sight out of my left eye immediately. But 19 days later, after a surgery, I woke up totally blind out of both eyes. And I don't remember any of that, but I do remember waking up in the traumatic brain injury unit of the physical rehabilitation ward and not knowing why I couldn't see. And that's when everything was explained to me.
Oh my gosh. So when you, as much as you remember, when you woke up and you couldn't see, like, what was that like?
You know, it was kind of like I didn't realize what was going on. You know, I just thought I was at home, you know, because I woke up, I was in the gurney, I was in the bed, and I had to use the bathroom, you know. And so I got up and I was like, I don't know why it's so dark. And then I go to the side of the bed and there's the rail, you know, there's the hospital bed rail. And I'm like, huh. And then there's the other one on the other side. And I'm like, what is going on? So I just, and I don't know why I can't see. And so I just tried to call to the end of the bed and I woke up my dad and, you know, I had a catheter in at the time. I said, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. And he goes, just go. And I'm like, no, I have to pee. And he's like, no, just go. I was like, I'm going to pee. And he's like, that's fine. Just pee. And then so I was like, all right, it's about to get wet. And nothing happened. And that was the first thing, like, hey, something's up here. And why, and I had to be so bad. It didn't even hit me why my dad was in my room with me.
So then how long was it since when you got your sight back, or what did that even look like?
Yeah. So I actually, the doctors had told me that, you know, that I could get my sight back, that it was possible. And unfortunately my optic nerve had atrophied due to the cranial inflammation, the brain pressing it up against my the inner wall of my skull. So the optic nerve atrophied, and they didn't have really the guts to tell me that I was never going to see again. And, you know, then I was referred out to another neuro-ophthalmologist who told me within 5 minutes of seeing me that this is a lifetime thing.
That's unbelievable. I imagine for many of us, we get to places in our lives where something unexpected happens. Maybe it's like a health scare, or maybe it's the death of someone that we were really close to and we didn't expect, or maybe it's like this unexpected financial hit. I feel like for you, getting this news that you would never be able to see again, I think for most of us, that would completely crush our hopes and dreams. What kept you going?
Yeah, that was actually, that news was actually liberating for me, because it's I know now what I'm dealing with. And, you know, it's just about maintaining perspective, right? So I know where I'm at, and I guess I can only go up from here. And, you know, I still have skills, I still have talent, I still have ability. And really, it's just up to me to make it happen. You know, you know, I could be blind and in a wheelchair. You know, I could be blind in a wheelchair, and mentally I could be a vegetable, and really I should just be dead. And when you maintain that perspective that it could always be worse, then that helps you realize how good you really have it. And, you know, so start climbing.
I want you to share a little bit about what you have done with the Olympics, and it's just, it's amazing.
Well, thanks, Melvin. There's some recent news with that. So that's thank you for asking. In 2008, I found out about blind baseball, and I'd been blind 4 years at the time. and no one had told me about sports for the blind. And I just grew up playing sports. It was just, you know, I loved it, and especially baseball. So that, you know, I was already motivated at that time. I was working full time. I was going to school full time, but that just threw fuel on my pilot light and really got the blaze going. And in 2011, had my first track meet, found out about track and field, and later that year made the U.S. national team. 2011, the Parapan American gold medalist in the long jump. I was a 2012 Paralympian in track and field, 2013 World Championship team member. And then I took 2014 off to recover from some injuries. And then I had a surgery at the beginning of 2015. Valentine's Day was a Saturday. I'll never forget it because I was at track practice and I had a huge PR in the 100 meter. And this season was going to be amazing. Like, I was on track to again go to the Pan Ams, which were in Toronto, and then the World Championships were later that year in Doha, Qatar. And I had a surgery that sidelined me for pretty much the entire track season. So I, you know, of course I didn't end up going on to those events, but I was looking for something to complement my track and field training. And I heard about this neat new sport called track cycling. And if anybody's familiar with that, it's, you know, sometimes it's outdoor, but it's mostly indoor cycling. And just like track and field, you go in a loop. And so I went to a camp at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs in September. Started training in August, went to that camp in September. And I just got back at the time of this recording. I just got back this past weekend. And I am the U.S. national champion in the Kilo, which is the 1 kilometer event. And I'm very, very, very proud to say that I had the fastest time in the United States across all classifications. Mine, but yes, that's great, but also all classifications. So it was a huge honor to just kind of stumble into this new sport and have such a good time with it.
Man, I didn't even realize when I asked that question. Oh, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. So, you know, cycling is this really cool community. Like, I didn't realize how, you know, big and like cult like it is. And I've got medals before. I got this big awesome medal and I was like, damn, that's great. And they're like, oh, you also get the jersey. And I'm like, what's the jersey? And they're like, well, anytime you race in this event, you need to wear this jersey. It's like the Tour de France, like wearing the yellow or the green jersey. It's this is my event. I was like, wow, that's so cool.
That's amazing. You know, this actually reminded me of something. You've posted a couple of these pictures on your Facebook where I remember this one time you had asked if someone was available to like help you cycle.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask this question of what have you, like going through everything you've gone through, what have you learned about this idea of like relying on others versus doing it ourselves?
Yeah, you know, so there's, we got to be independent, right? And, you know, if you're not independent, if you don't believe in yourself, if you're not willing to, you know, put yourself out there, then the interdependence where you begin building a team, you begin building a following, an audience, your clientele, you know, it becomes really tough if you're not willing to just put yourself out there regardless first off. And so, you know, here I am, I've got this dream, and, you know, that's, you know, one of the cool and hardest things about being blind and competing in sports. And it's very analogous to business or, you know, starting a business, is that you need people. You can only get so far by yourself. And, you know, it couldn't be any truer with, you know, blind cycling, right? Like, I need someone to drive this bike. And so instead of just fretting about it, I just kept putting myself out there and at the same time continuing to improve myself. There's things that I can do, so when that opportunity arises, I'm ready to seize it.
I wanted to shift a little bit. So how have you gone about developing your business, because you've done some pretty amazing things?
Thank you so much for asking that. Kind of like you, where you have this passion, there's this thing that you love and you figure out a way to create a business around that. And for me, it first started with my, health and fitness website. I was living at the Olympic Training Center in California, and I was exposed to all these really high-end people, these specialists, the best around, to help cultivate and develop these athletes in a wide range of skills and disciplines, and rehab and nutrition and, programming and, et cetera, in a long-term plan and in short-term plans, and how it kind of all comes together in this synchronicity. And I was inspired by that. And so I was like, man, I want to be to that level. So I started doing my own research. I started figuring things out and, bouncing it off these people. And, I was getting good feedback. And so that's when I launched my first, health and fitness business, Absolutely Lean. It started with working with people one-on-one. And through word of mouth, it just kind of started to spread. And then I was like, well, I think I need to put this online and share this with others. And that's what I did.
And then what, tell for the folks that haven't heard of it, what, tell us a little bit about Absolutely Lean.
Yeah. So it's the hormone approach to fat loss, food, and life. And, it was so weird at the Olympic Training Center. You would see these people, and I was kind of one of them, where, they're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with fatigue, chronic fatigue. They can't sleep at night. They have amenorrhea, which I'm sure most of your audience knows is when a woman isn't menstruating. That's just a real big indicator that of non-health, being unhealthy. If you're in such a physiological stress or state that your body is saying, hey, you're not healthy enough to produce life. Your body can't handle pregnancy. Your body can't handle procreating. That's a problem. And so I set out to outline the paths of getting back to health. And so, just when you're focused on health, when we're really healthy, just naturally you lose the body fat. Naturally, you lose weight. Naturally, also too, your athletic performance goes up. Your energy goes up. Your moods get, become stable. You're not swinging all over the place. And it's just when we get focused on health, everything just seems to fall in line with that. And I really found that getting down to circadian rhythms and, helping guide people to how to get back to that natural state of living is really what sets the bar to do so, to get back to health. Hmm.
Tanner, I wanted to shift a little bit. I imagine that you have had a lot of people as you've, started your business, as you've overcome some pretty big hurdles that have said, oh, Tanner, I don't know if you're capable of doing that or you shouldn't do that. How do you overcome those people that are like the naysayers in your life?
It's so interesting. Thanks for asking that question. I'm hearing it all the time, even today, because, in the deepest core of my being, I know that I'll be in 2016 at Rio de Janeiro for the games. And I want to go in two sports. I want to go in track and field, and I want to go in track cycling. And everyone, and then of course I've got my passion for blind baseball, which I still play. I want to ask people, hey, what does it take for me to get there? I want to be there. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it's so funny that everybody I ask in the cycling community says, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You need to do this, and what you're doing is not going to work. It's the same thing I heard before 2012. I was really struggling to get in, to start to become a resident at the Olympic Training Center. My applications, plural, were denied. And even though I was on the national team, even though I was a gold medalist, they didn't think that I was it. And, so I told my wife, I said, I believe in myself. If they don't want to let me live there, then I'm going to move there. And that's exactly what I did. I moved to San Diego and I started showing up to the training center because I have those rights as a national team athlete. And within a week, I did the jump that would take me to London. So the naysayers are there. You know, haters are going to hate. People are going to try to portray what they think is going to happen based upon their experience. Well, that's all fine and good, but they're not you. You know, there is some weight to listening to other people and, you know, trying to gather as much information as you can. But ultimately, it becomes down to the belief in yourself and what you're willing to do, regardless of what other people say. So take that stuff with a grain of salt, put it in the information bank, but don't make their thoughts, don't make their experience influence yours, unless it's in a positive way.
Yeah, it's really well said. I've always been fascinated by people that are doing amazing things and like what they do on a daily basis to be so productive. So I wanted to ask you that, like, what is something that you do on a daily basis that you feel improves your ability to take action in your business?
Wow. Yeah. Great question. And I hope that it's not disappointing to everybody that's listening, but I'm really a guy who's about the basics, about the fundamentals. And I think that when we get too hyped up about doing the fancy stuff, doing the details, that we forget about the basics. And it's really tough to build anything if you don't lay that foundation. The height of your building is going to be directly correlated to the strength of that foundation. So, you know, every day I express my gratitude. If I'm on top of my game, it's happening when I wake up and before I go to bed. You know, before I go to bed, I go through everything that I'm grateful for that day. And when I wake up, I am grateful for waking up and I'm grateful for everything that I have. And I just go through that. And, you know, so that's a way to start your day with a smile, you know, when you realize everything that you have. And then on the tail end of that, when I get myself in that positive mindset, you know, feeling good about myself and my life, is that I go over my goals. Before you can even go over your goals, is you got to write them down. I stared at a blank screen for, you know, over a half hour the day that I decided to write my goals down. And this is, you know, I've already achieved so much in my life at this point. I was blown back that I couldn't come up with my goals like, boom, at the drop of a hat. I just stared at that screen. So writing down your goals in a very specific way, in such a way that where you going over it every day, where someone's asked me what my goals are, I'm like, it's XYZ. And then I, you know, if I return that question, they probably wouldn't be able to retort it or to answer it, you know, in a very rhythmic, systematic fashion, because I know what my goals are. And when you know what your goals are, then you can really break down the steps, A, B, C, to get after those goals. You have those little sub-goals, those little check marks or landmarks on your way to achieving that. And when you get that done, do the hard things first. And that's how you get amazing things done in an amazingly small amount of time.
Yeah, no, I am a big proponent. I think sometimes we have these grand goals. And if I'm even honest, like even with myself, like I would think about big things that I wanted to do, but I never took that key step of actually breaking it down into pieces. And I think by not doing that, it becomes way too overwhelming. We don't know where to get started. And usually then what happens is we actually never actually take action on anything.
Great point there, because, you know, when we have these big, big goals, it almost becomes greater than us. And whenever we're going for something greater than us, you might know what I'm talking about. You might just like kind of push it away. Mm-hmm. And energetically, mentally. But when we break it down into these digestible things that like, hey, I can do this in a day, I can do this in a week, and you get after it, and then all of a sudden it's done. And, you know, the time's going to pass either way. You know, what are you going to do with that time?
Tanner, the last question that I wanted to ask you was, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about starting a small business? So the majority of my listeners are aspiring mental health private practitioners who are thinking about starting their practices, or maybe they've started their practices and they're just at that point of just feeling burned out.
Okay, so this might sound a little oxymoronic, but expect yourself to fail. Expect that you will fail, but get after it like you won't. You know, it's always okay to change gears, because we're going to learn, right? And that's what failing is. It's not really failing. It's an opportunity to learn and to grow and get better. And the more you learn, i.e. the more you fail, then the better you'll be able to serve your audience, to build the business, to create the life that you want. I heard this Jim Rohn quote, and when I heard it, it was about like 18 months ago, I was like, holy moly, like that's it right there. That's what I've been doing. And now to have it in words, it makes it so much more powerful. The spirit that's behind my action. And the quote is, make plans like an adult and believe in them like a child.
That's so beautiful.
Yes.
That is really deep. Like, think about it as have the logical and the rational thing of being an adult, but never lose that inspiration and that creativity.
You know, we tell kids all the time, you can be anything you want to be. And just because you're an adult doesn't mean that that's not true for you either. You know, live it. Live the question. What else is possible? What greatness is inside me that I have yet to realize? What greatness is inside of me? What have I yet to become that I don't know that I can become yet? Live the questions and believe in yourself. Everybody listening to this right now, what's inside me is also inside of you. And what's so great is that what's inside of me is limitless.
Tanner, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for doing this. What are the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
Thank you so much for having me on. You are such a great host, Melvin. It's no wonder you're having such phenomenal success. So thank you again. Yeah, so if anybody wants to get a hold of me, by the time that this podcast launches, we're totally rehauling Absolutely Lean. I've got absolutelylean.com. I've got theathletesummit.com, which is really for people who are into sports performance and athletic development. That's a membership website. Then, of course, as we discussed before the recording, is that I'm really getting focused and really figured out how I want to serve people who have been in my situation, in the situation of struggle, in the situation of life. And so that's why I am launching TannerGears.com, which is the motivation for the struggle and the inspiration for your life.
Can't wait for it. You have such an amazing story, and I know that you have a lot of wisdom to share. Tanner, thank you again for doing this.
It's my pleasure, Melvin. Thank you.
Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Tanner. Man, I have so many thoughts going through my head. I don't even know where to start. I think the one thing that I'm definitely taking away is the meaning that we, I think, make out of events in our lives. You know, I think for me, if I'm really honest, I know that I come across as very optimistic on the podcast. And the truth is, I generally am. But I think when events that are negative happen in my life, I think my natural tendency is to almost catastrophize it. And I just think about all the times that I have catastrophized something, and in doing that, I have actually stopped the pursuit of something that I thought was very meaningful. And I need to be much more aware of that as I think as Selling the Couch grows and as I as a professional grow as well. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session56. As we start this new year, if you are thinking about launching a podcast and just need some extra support, I'm going to be doing a couple of podcasting workshops here in January. And if you're listening to this way in the future, I likely will have these podcasting workshops continue. You can find more information about them at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. I did the first two last month, and the feedback was just awesome. It helped a lot of folks launch their own podcasts. We'll go into the basics of how to record all the way to how to create multiple streams of income through podcasting. Have a great week and take good care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.